There's some we want where they might be at this morning, but it's to the time now. We ain't going to worry about it or wonder about nobody else. Amen. Just be thankful we're here. Thankful we're in God's house this morning, and I'm glad to see your presence, and just good to be in God's house. I want you to turn your Bibles, Psalm number 119 in the Old Testament, Psalm 119. We've come to the very last message in this series that I've been preaching now. This is the 22nd letter, therefore it's the 22nd message. And some of you might say, well, thank you, Lord, that we've come to the end of this psalm, the longest chapter in the Bible, the longest psalm, but it's right in the midst of God's Word. And I believe that as we've had this opportunity to study, I preached on this series, Letters for Living, and I believe that there's some great truths in each one of these stanzas that we have in this 119th psalm. And as we come to this very last stanza this morning, I believe that it might be the most humble stanza in which the psalmist wrote. We've saw that throughout the text, throughout this psalm, that the psalmist has been approaching God and has been telling the Lord of the great things that he has done, of the great things that he strived to uphold by honoring the Word of God. And I believe God will honor us if we'll honor His Word. And I believe God will bless us if we'll just bless Him. And I believe that as we look at this very last stanza, I believe that there is a sense of humility in the psalmist's voice. And I believe that's what it ought to be about in our life. I believe whenever it's all said and done, that we ought to be humbled before the Lord. I believe that we can strive to get in this book and get as much of this book inside of us. And I believe God will honor that. But I believe beyond that, He'll honor that one that's humble before Him. I want to preach to you this morning on this thought. I thought I had it just all together this morning, and as we've been going through the service today, I don't know exactly how God's going to let it all pan out, but that's good, amen? I'd rather be right there where He wants us to be. But I just pray that God will help me preach it in the way and manner He'd be pleased with this morning. I want to preach to you on this thought. It's all about Him. Amen? It's all about God and what He can do for us. And so many times we have our own pity parties. Amen. We find ourselves like Elijah up underneath the juniper tree, and we feel like it's all about us and what this one's done or that one's done. And we want some attention drawn to ourselves. But when it comes right down to it, it ain't about us. It's about Him and what He can do. So if you found your place, let's stand this morning. Psalm 119, verse 169, with this thought in mind, it's all about Him. That letter, that last Hebrew letter, Tal, 169, Psalm 119. The Bible says, "Let my cry come near before Thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to Thy Word. Let my supplication come before Thee. Deliver me according to Thy Word. My lips shall utter praise when Thou hast taught me Thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of Thy Word, for all Thy commandments are righteousness. Let Thine hand help me, for I have chosen Thy precepts. I have longed for Thy salvation, O Lord, and Thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise Thee, and let Thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek Thy servant, for I do not forget Thy commandments." And you may be seated this morning. As we look at this psalm, we read this very last stanza, we see some very humble thoughts as we think about and read this last stanza. And as I was meditating and pondering over the Scripture in my study and wondering just exactly what the message might be for the hour, I prayed that God would give me the Word that I might be able to share with somebody here in this sanctuary today. You know, I don't believe there's those accidents with God. Amen. There's just appointments that we're all going to meet and make one day. And we find that each encounter that we have with God is something that ought to be considered a blessing unto those of us that are receptive to His will. So we find here is this psalmist that, as I've said, that has shared from his heart all the way through these letters and this acrostic outline of the Psalter. We find here, the Bible says here in verse 169 and verse 170, He says, let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. And then in 170, he says, let my supplication come before thee. I believe that as the psalmist was writing and recording these words, I believe he began to really reflect upon whom that he was. I believe he began to really reflect upon what God had done for him and how God had blessed him and how God had honored him whenever he had not even honored the Lord. How that God had ministered to the needs of his family whenever he had not really ministered unto the needs of the Lord. How that God had overwhelmed him with His presence whenever a lot of times he didn't desire to be in God's presence. And I believe that as he come to this last letter in the Hebrew alphabet, in this acrostic form of this Psalter, I believe that all of a sudden he began to become lowly. I believe that he began to really look at his life and realize where that he had come short and where that he had fallen. And you say, preacher, this man is a man of God. This one that has wrote this psalm is one that is a lover of God and a lover of the Word and one that desires to be everything he can be for Jesus. Well, my friend, I'll tell you what, we can all fall into that category and still come short. Amen? Hey, we can all be as earnest and as zealous for the Word of God. Hey, we can know Scripture. We can have it wrote in our minds and on our hearts. Hey, we can love the Word. We can love church. We can do everything we can do physically. But my friend, I'll tell you what, we still fall short. We still come up short whenever it comes to God's holiness and God's righteousness. I believe as he began to focus there, I believe he began to realize that it wasn't about anything he had done, wasn't about anything he had said, wasn't about any prayer he had prayed, other than the fact that he needed to one more come under the throne of grace and call upon God. I believe that he realized that it's all about him. I believe we need to realize it's all about him as, first of all this morning, as we encounter his presence. I believe we need to realize, hey, when we come to God, it's about Him. It ain't about us. A lot of times we have petitions and God wants to hear our petitions. God wants to hear your heart. God wants to hear your need. It's not that He doesn't know what your need is, but He wants to remind you that you have a need. He wants to remind you that you have things in your life that nobody can help you with except for the Lord God Almighty. Hey, I'll tell you what, there comes a time when mama can't help. Amen. Comes a time when daddy runs out. And my friend, the only one you can call upon is God Almighty. It's about Him this morning as we encounter His presence. The psalmist says, let my cry come near before Thee, O Lord. I believe he had a heavy heart. And he said, let my cry come unto Thee, O Lord. That word Lord, I remind you this morning, is capitalized. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. It's talking about Jehovah Himself. It's talking about the Lord God Almighty. And the Bible here says that He says, let my cry come near before Thee. This cry was not just some little old whimpering prayer, I don't believe. I don't believe that it was one of these that was written out in some book years ago in which you memorized as a child. It's not a creed. It's not nothing that man has made up, but I believe it was something that come from the earnest depths of his heart. I believe that it's speaking of an intense cry. I believe it's talking about a ringing cry. I believe it's talking about something that come from way down within. And he says, let my cry come near before Thee. Let this entreaty of supplication come near to You, O Lord. My friend, we need to recognize that we need to call upon God and say, God, can I come into Your presence? A lot of times we think we can just waltz right in to the throne of grace. A lot of times we think we can just lollygag right in there to God's presence. But my friend, we need to realize, hey, it ain't about us, but it's about us recognizing that He is holy and that He is righteous and that, God, we need to come unto You and we need to ask You, dear God, may we enter in to Thy presence. May we come near Thy throne. He says, God, let my cry come near before Thee. That coming near speaks of approaching. It speaks of drawing nigh. And my friend, we need to realize that when we approach God, we need to come with humility. We need to come with lowliness. We need to come before Him with a cry in our heart and with an earnest desire for God to hear our plea. I'd say that I'm not the only one this morning that's in the house of God that has a burden upon their heart. Not the only one here today that's got something weighing heavy upon your shoulder. Ain't the only one here today that maybe walking through a valley, might be going through a trial. You might have something coming up this next week that's far bigger than what you can handle. I want you to realize that wherever you get in those situations, wherever you come to those places, what you need to do is you need to encounter His presence, amen? And come unto Him saying, Lord, I want You to hear my cry. God, I want You to hear my plea. It says there in verse number 70, He says it speaks about His supplication. That supplication is you coming unto God, asking for His time of favor to be overshadowing your life, asking for God's hand of gift, of mercy and grace to come down and to rain upon you and to show His goodness and to show His kindness and to show His love upon you. My friend, He says there, as we encounter His presence, He says, let my supplication come before Thee. Let me draw once again before Thee. Let me come unto Thy presence. And my friend, he had something heavy upon him. He says, let my cry come near before Thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to Thy word. There's somebody here this morning that does not understand what's going on in your life. Somebody here don't understand why you youngins have gone astray. Somebody here this morning don't understand, God, why do You have me in this place? God, what's going on in my life? What lies ahead next week, next month, next year? Why is my retirement gone down the drain? Why is my job run out? God, why have You allowed these things to take place? God, I've got a sickness. I've got a loved one that has a disease that's far greater than any physician can heal. We've been to doctor after doctor after doctor. There is no cure. There is no solution. So, God, I'm coming unto Thee, and I'm encountering Your presence, and I'm asking God for Your will to be done in my life. Give me understanding as to how that I might be able to cope with this. I'll tell you what, if you'll call upon God, He'll give you understanding. Amen. Sometimes He gives you understanding to realize, hey, that there's sometimes things that happen unto those that are good and those that are bad. There's sometimes trials that happen unto those that are Christians as well as those that are lost. Hey, I'll tell you what, we're not saved on this side of eternity in the flesh, but boy, I'll tell you what, if we're a believer of Jesus Christ, if we've trusted in the blood, if we've acknowledged the cross of Calvary, if we've been saved by God's grace through faith, hey, we've got hope. Amen. We've got something we can look forward to. We've got something that we can long for. Our flesh is not saved. Our soul is signed and sealed and delivered. But I'll tell you what, sometimes we have things going on that's far greater than what we can overwhelmingly comprehend in our mind. So we have to come to God and say, God, give me understanding. As I encounter Your presence, God, help me to understand. Help me to understand. What you're doing is saying, God, teach me something. God, I want to be a learner this morning. I want to be. If you're truly a follower of Christ, then you are a disciple of Him. You're a learner. You're a pupil. You're open to His teaching. And you're saying, God, help me to come to an understanding. He says, according to Thy Word. And I'll tell you what, if you'll look under the Word of God, God will give you a peace and a sense of assurance to know that He's in control and that all things are going to come to pass according as to how that He directs it. And my friend, He'll give you the ability to have faith for the journey. Hey, as we encounter His presence, we need to realize it's all about Him. He says there, let my supplication come before Thee. And then He says, deliver me according to Thy Word. And I'll tell you what, sometimes we need to have a plea and a cry as we encounter the presence of God for His deliverance. You say, what am I being delivered from? What am I being delivered unto? And I'll tell you what, there sometimes comes times of peril in our life. There's times of distress. There's times of stress. There's times in which we're at our wits' end. And my friend, the only way we can do is call upon God. There may be somebody here today that's lost. There may be somebody here today that's never trusted in Jesus. And what you need to do is you need to call upon God and say, God, deliver me from the depths of hell. Deliver me from the wiles of the Satan himself. Deliver me from the heart of the devil. Deliver me from this old wickedness that's within me. Deliver me from my lost state. Deliver me. Help me, dear God. Rescue me. Rescue my family. Rescue my children. Help me to come into a relationship with Thee. That might be your need this morning as you encounter His presence, is to call upon Him and say, God, I'm a sinner in need of salvation. Hey, I need to be rescued. I need to be one that's overwhelmingly helped out. Now, for the believer, you might be saying, hey, I just need to be delivered from my enemies. I've got those that are overwhelmingly coming down upon me that hate me and that want to see me destroyed. And what you need to do is call upon Him and say, God, You're the only one that can help. I'm encountering Your presence and I'm saying, God, deliver me from this state of trouble I'm in. Hey, somebody might need to be delivered from your enemies or your trouble. Somebody might be delivered from need to be delivered from the death that's right there at your doorstep. But I want to tell you what, there's hope in Him. Amen? Hey, it's all about Him. And He says there, deliver me. Now, deliverance might also be that you need to be delivered from sin or the guilt of sin. You know what? Sometimes we as Christians fall into sin. You say, no, preacher, not you. Not you. I'll tell you what, even though I'm saved by grace through faith, my old flesh is not quite saved yet. There's times in which we falter and we fail. There's times whenever the temptation of the devil is right there before us, and sometimes we give in. And I'll tell you what we need to do is we need to call upon Jesus right then. We need to say, God, it's not about me. It's not about nothing that I can do, but God, I'm coming unto You right now asking and begging and beseeching that I might enter into Thy presence, that I might encounter You and say, God, deliver me from this sin. Deliver me from the guilt of sin. That's why some people can't get beyond themselves. Some people can't get beyond their past. Some people can't get beyond the fact that God saved them and delivered them from sin, delivered them from flesh, delivered them from the devil. But the devil's always constantly bringing up that sin and that guilt of sin in their life. And they can't have the victory that God wants them to have. That's why we need to call into His presence. Call upon His name. Say, Lord, deliver me. Help me to walk the victorious life that You have called me to live. So we find here the Bible teaches us here that it's all about Him. It's all about Him as we encounter His presence. It's all about Him as we elevate His praise. And my friend, we need to pray for deliverance if we're ever going to praise Him. Amen. You cannot praise Him properly unless you've been delivered. You can't praise Him properly unless you're saved. You can't praise Him properly unless you're walking in the pathway of righteousness in which He has laid before you to walk therein. So the Bible here tells us that we need to realize that we need to elevate His praise. Look what the psalmist did in verse 171. He said, My lips shall utter praise. 172 says, My tongue shall speak of Thy word. I believe that he wanted to praise God. I believe he wanted to uplift Him. He says there in verse 171, he says, My lips shall utter praise. Now to utter, it means to emit or to pour out. For some, it means to gush forth. Now I believe that praise ought to be prominent upon the believer's life. Now praise is something, or worship rather, is something that's been done for years and years. And worship sometimes was done in a right way, and sometimes it was done in a wrong way. Do you know that God, in the Old Testament, set specifications for worship? That's what Brother Andy's been going through. As he's been taking us through the tabernacle, we see that God ordained certain way that certain things need to be done. And if they were not done in a proper fashion, then God did not honor that. And sometimes there were some serious consequences for those that did not worship God in the way and the manner that they ought to have. Hey, we find over there in the Old Testament, look at Leviticus, old Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, what they do. And the Bible says and teaches us they offered an unauthorized fire unto God. They offered strange fire unto God. They did not approach Him in the way that they should have. And therefore God allowed fire to fall down from the altar. And God devoured those two men because they did not worship Him in the way and the manner in which God prescribed for them to worship. Hey, you say that's awful serious consequences. Well, I'll tell you what. It's awful serious when we come to God's house. Amen. It's awful serious when we come to God's presence. And my friend, we need to worship Him in a way and a manner that's going to honor Him. What did Korah do in number 16? Hey, he attempted or he abrogated the priestly function unto himself. He said, I'm just going to be the priest today. And what did God do? God allowed the earth to swallow him up, him and all of his sons. And we find that he was devoured by the earth because he did not worship God in the proper way. We find in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 that King Uzziah offered incense only the priest could properly offer. And we find that the consequence for Uzziah was leprosy that he was struck with from then on. I want to tell you, we need to recognize that when we enter into God's presence, that it is entirely something that we need to do with reverence and honor. It ain't about you this morning. Hey, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you come to God's house. I'm glad you allowed yourself to get dressed up and to come under the house of God to show Him that He is worthy of your worship, that you want to ascribe worth unto Him because He allowed Jesus to come and to die upon the cross. But my friend, we need to recognize that we need to come in here and we need to elevate Him and not ourselves. Amen. There's a lot of churches elevate a man. There's a lot of churches elevate singers. A lot of churches elevate a choir, elevate a teacher. I want to tell you, there ain't nothing about me that's worthy of being elevated today. But I'll tell you what, everything about Him is worthy to be exalted and magnified today. Hey, we need to recognize that there's proper ways of worship. There's proper ways of praise. And most of all, it's about Him. He says, "My lips shall utter praise." Now, praise has been done differently down through the centuries. There's some churches have music, some churches don't. Some churches place a great emphasis upon the music, some churches don't. We find that, and I didn't realize this, but Charles Haddon Spurgeon, they sang a cappella in his church. They did not have no music. And we find that different churches do things different ways. And we find that during the Protestant Reformation, that there's one man by the name of John Calvin. And I'm not getting anybody off on anything, but I want you to recognize what he did. What he did was is that he changed the way that the sanctuary was laid out. And that day and time, in those big cathedrals and those big places, they had the pulpit way off to the side somewhere. Had it way up in the corner somewhere. Maybe had it off center. What he did was he said, "I want the pulpit right in the center of the church. I want the pulpit right there in the center. I want a Bible laid out upon that pulpit. I want every place and every seat to be angled toward that pulpit, because the only thing that needs to be honored in God's house on God's day is God's Word. And we need to magnify and uplift it. I'm not here to be your center of attention today. What I'm here to do is to move you toward Jesus, is to magnify Him, is to allow the Word of God to take precedence in your life. Quit having a pity party. Quit being selfish for yourself. And recognize we come to church to magnify God and to uplift Him." Hey, we're here to elevate His praise. He says, "My lips shall utter praise." Now, that word "utter" means to pour out or to emit. I said it means also to gush forth. Hey, it also speaks of something that ferments. Now, I want to remind you of something. When something ferments, it is caused to bubble. Now, I believe there's a reason that Jesus said, do not put new wine in old wineskins. Because them old wineskins had already had all the elasticity worked out of them. And they got dry and they got brittle. And you put new wine inside of those old wineskins, and that wine begins to ferment, begins to grow, and begins to gush forth. That old wineskin would not hold it in. I want to tell you what we need to be is we need to be a people that are allowing the Holy Spirit of God to lead us into God's presence. And whenever God begins to move upon us and begins to woo upon us and begins to work upon us, and He reminds us where we used to be, He reminds us where we used to go, He reminds us what we used to do, and then He reminds us of what Jesus did for us and how He encountered our life and how He made a difference and how He caused a change to occur and how He saved us by His grace, and He saved us by His mercy, and how He's befriended our family, and how He's graced us with goodness and gifts, how He's allowed our table to never run out of food, how He's allowed our bills to always be paid. After that, Lord, it calls us to just bubble forth and to step back and say, "Praise God for all the things that He's done." You ought to magnify Him from time to time. It don't have to necessarily be in God's house. You might be in the workplace, might be in school, you might be standing on the mountainside all by yourself. It don't matter. Just step back and say, "Thank you, God, for all the things that You've done." Hey, we need to recognize it's not about us, it's all about Him as we elevate His praise. He says, "My lips shall utter praise." That praise is what we need to speak of. That's adoration and thanksgiving. That which is paid unto God. That which is due unto God. That which is demanded by God. Amen. God demands that you witness and testify for Him. He says there in verse number 171, "When thou hast taught me thy statutes." Boy, I tell you what, whenever you learn of the things of God, when you learn of His goodness and His grace, you ought to want to praise Him. He says in verse 172, my tongue shall speak of thy word. My tongue shall speak, it shall answer, it shall respond, it shall testify, it shall witness of all the goodness, all the grace that God has bestowed upon me through His commandments, through the Word of God, through the code of wisdom, through the Torah, through all the things that point to the righteousness of God. God, Thou art holy, Thou art wonderful, Thou art just and right in all that Thou hast done, and therefore I'm going to praise You because You've allowed me to come to that knowledge. Hey, it's all about Him today. Amen? As we encounter His presence, as we elevate His praise, as we embrace His provision. Now, friend, we need to be calling upon God for God's will to be done in our life. We need to call upon God and say, God, I can't help myself. Only You can. And He says there in verse 173, He says, let Thine hand help me. That hand speaks of God's strength. This speaks of God's power. You know that God has the ability to move mountains in your life. God has the ability to raise the valleys in your life. God has the ability to overcome the enemies in your life through His strength and through His power that's found in His delivering hand. I'll tell you what, God can do great things. And He says, let Thine hand help me. God, I need You to come along and succor me. God, I need You to come along and support me. Is there anybody here today that does not feel like you can stand no more? Is there anybody here today that feels like you can't run no more? Been running from God for years. Been running from God for days or weeks. Been running from God and not doing what God's bid you to do. Hey, I'll tell you what the best thing you can do today is just fall on your face before Him and say, God, help me. Help me. Help me. Bible says there, let Thine hand help me. Embrace His provision. For I have chosen Thy precepts. You know that you've got to make a decision today to go with Him or go against Him. You've got to make a decision today that you're going to embrace His provision or you're going to push God away and say, God, I want You out of my mind, out of my life, out of my family and my home. I don't want Your help no more. Or you can call upon Him and embrace Him and say, God, I need You. I need Your help. He says, let Thine hand help me, for I have chosen, I have made a decision, I have elected that I'm going to walk with Thee. I want Your statutes. I want Your precepts. I want all those things that You prescribe that I should do to take place in my life. And He says, God, help me. He says in verse 174, He says, I have longed for Thy salvation. I have longed. To long means to be in want. To long for something, to want something, to desire something. There's somebody here today that needs to have deliverance. Somebody here today that needs to overcome the flesh, needs to overcome the wickedness and the trickery of the devil, needs to overcome the things that you want in life and say, God, what is it that You want for my life? I'll tell you what, there's a time that I had to do that. And there's a time whenever I had to say, God, I'm tired of doing what I want to do because there really ain't no enjoyment in it. Ultimately, yeah, it's good to be able to run up and down the road and do whatever you want to do from time to time. But I'll tell you what, if you're outside of God's will, there comes a point when it ain't no fun. And you just have to say, God, I'm going to quit doing what I want to do. And God, I want to make a decision today to walk with You and to go for You and to do what You bid me to do. He says, I have longed for Thy salvation. Now, salvation speaks of prosperity. Salvation speaks of welfare. Salvation also speaks of victory. Maybe somebody here today that needs to have victory in your life. You're tired of being a victim of your circumstance. Tired of being a victim of all the things that are going on in your life. And I'll tell you what, you call upon Jesus. Allow Him to set Himself down upon the throne room of your heart. And there'll be prosperity. There'll be victory. There'll be deliverance come unto thy life. You say, preacher, you talking about I'm just going to have everything I need? No. I'm saying, but you'll have happiness. Amen. You'll have joy. You'll have peace. Hey, that's prosperity. Amen. Hey, the Bible tells us here that He says, I have longed for Thy salvation. Now, don't you realize this salvation He's talking about can only come by God. Can't nobody else help you. Can't nobody else deliver you. Can't nobody bring forth salvation in your life other than God. I got to reading that yesterday, Brother Andy. And look at that word. I want you to back me up. I want you to check me out. That word salvation is the word Yeshua. Yeshua. Don't that sound familiar? Yeshua Mashiach, Jesus the Christ. Jehovah is salvation. There's somebody here today, you might have been looking for help in every other place. What's that old song, looking for love in all the wrong places? Can't remember who sang that, but might have been the Oak Ridge Boys or something. I can't remember. Looking for love and all that. There's a lot of people look for love in all the wrong places. Look for it in a bottle or a bar room. Look for it in a drug. I tell you what, we can look for God in all the wrong places. The only way you're going to have true salvation, the only way you're going to have true deliverance, the only way you're going to have true welfare, prosperity, victory in your life is to call upon Jesus. It's got to come by God and through God. It's got to come by the blood of the Son of God that died upon Calvary for your sin. Hey, there's life, and life is found in the blood. Now, friend, the only way you can have peace is to get called for God for salvation and say, Yeshua, I've longed for you. I've been looking for you. You are exactly whom I need. Hey, you need to embrace His provision this morning. He says there in verse number 174, He says, I've longed for Thy salvation, O Lord, and Thy law is my delight. Hey, I'll tell you what, there is happiness, there's peace, whenever you have Jesus in your heart. That delight speaks of pleasure and enjoyment. And I'll tell you what, life is so much better when you have God in your presence. Whenever you call upon Him and embracing His provision in your life, what a blessing it is to know Christ. And so the Bible says here, the psalmist says, I've longed for Thy salvation. Now, for the believer, what you need to be praying for is, Jesus, are You coming today? God, are You coming tomorrow? God, are You coming next week? God, I'm praying for Your deliverance. I'm praying for salvation. I'm praying for You to come. So we find here that the Bible says there in verse 175, it says, let my soul live. Do you realize that you have a soul? Do you realize that you have a part of you on the inside that's far greater than what's on the outside? On the outside we have skin, on the outside we have hair, on the outside we have physical dwelling. On the outside, I look around here and we have some beautiful people here in God's house this morning, but on the inside there's something that I cannot see. On the inside there's something that I cannot touch. On the inside there's something that goes far and above and beyond what that we can comprehend. But I'll tell you what, as God looks down upon this house of God this morning, He looks down upon us and He sees us for whom we really are. And He looks beyond the clothes. He looks beyond the makeup. He looks beyond the hair. He looks beyond what that we have attired ourselves with today. And He looks in the depths of your soul and He can see whether you're saved or whether you're lost. He can see whether you're heading to heaven or whether you're going to hell. He can see this morning. So the Bible says there, the psalmist says, let my soul live. God, I want that being within me. I want that which breathes. I want that which gives life. I want that which is here this morning in Thy presence. And I want it to live. I want it to have life. I want it to continue in this life. I want to be able to know that whenever I die, I'm going to heaven. I want to be able to lay down tonight and have peace in my heart and in my soul to know that everything's all right with God. Don't you realize He's all you need this morning. Amen. He's all that this world needs. As we encounter His presence, as we elevate His praise, as we embrace His provision. Because judgment's coming. Look what it says there. And let Thy judgments help me. God has already cast judgment upon death. Amen. I'm glad. He says the wage of sin is death. Sinners will die. Sinners will go to an eternal hell and stay there forever and forever and forever because they're unholy and because they're unrighteous and because they're lost. But I'll tell you what, if you'll call upon Jesus today, if you'll seek Him out and say, God, only You can help me. God, You're the only one that can give me... Hey, you know what? God's the only one that can help you live to restore you. Somebody here this morning say, but you need revival. You need to be refreshed. You need to be revived. You need to have the breath of God blow through yourselves one more time. And my friend, the only way we can do that is to recognize that God has already won the victory. Jesus lived. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. But praise God, He arose again. And He overcome death. He overcome hell. He overcome the grave. And my friend, if He is your Savior, He's also your advocate. He's your lawyer. He's your defender. He's the one that's going to stand before God on the day of judgment and say, you're not taking Him to hell, devil. He is saved through the blood. Amen. His soul has been saved. And it says there, therefore I'll praise Thee. My friend, that will be salvation. That will be praising from those that are saved because of His provision of salvation. So we see it's all about Him as we encounter His presence, as we elevate His praise, as we embrace His provision, but also as we encourage His pursuit. Do you realize that God is seeking after somebody this morning? It might not be in this church house, but I'll tell you what, it's in a church house somewhere. God could be seeking right here amongst us this morning. God might be searching out. God might be looking. Hey, He's pursuing somebody today. Hey, there's somebody speaking on the inside of you far greater than I could ever speak. My friend, that's God through the power of the Holy Ghost. Sweet heavenly hound, nipping at your heels, asking you if you'd trust in Jesus. He says there in verse 176, He says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Now, I want to remember, I want to recall you to mind as to what we spoke of earlier. Don't you realize that I don't know. I don't know from the depths of my heart as whether the psalmist was saved up to this point. Huh? I don't know that. Only God knows that. But do you realize that, just think about this. Do you realize that he could have known the Word of God? He could have known the statutes of God? He could have known the commandments of God? He could have known all of the Torah, all the Pentateuch. He could have been able to have named all of the books, 66 books, in order, frontwards and backwards. He might have been able to quote Scripture upon Scripture, chapter upon chapter, but yet still could have had all that intellectual knowledge, but his heart not know Jesus. And my friend, there might be somebody here today that's like that. Got all the tools to go and to do church. To go to Sunday school and act like you know what you're doing. Come to choir and act like you know what you're doing. Come and serve in service and act like you know what you're doing. My friend, you not know Jesus. My friend, it don't matter what you know intellectually if you don't know Christ. Amen. There's lots of people that go to school for years and years and years. Might be able to solve all kinds of world problems. But if they don't know Jesus, they're going to die and go to hell one day. I'll tell you, we ought to encourage His pursuit this morning. The psalmist says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Now, he might have literally been lost, but then he might have been wayward. Amen? He might have been saved, he might have been wayward. I ain't going to tell you 100%. I've read different commentaries, and they say it goes one way and the other. I'm not going to be dogmatic on the situation. I'm just going to let you know, hey, there's some people that are proclaiming to be saved whose name's on the church roll today, and they're going to die and go to hell because they never truly trusted in Christ. But there's those here this morning that God might be speaking to, saying, you're lost. You need to come unto Christ. He says, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Gone astray. To go astray means to err, to wander about, to sin. It speaks of an intoxication. I'll tell you what, the devil does not want to do anything more than intoxify your mind to deceive you and to beguile you and to tell you that everything's all right with your soul this morning. I'll tell you what, y'all encourage the pursuit of a holy God if He's dealing with your heart this morning. And just like the psalmist says, he says, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. But he says, seek thy servant this morning. I'll tell you what, I believe there's a change took place in his life. I believe there's a change took place in his mind. You know, that's exactly what repentance is. It's you changing your attitude, changing your appetite, changing how you address God from just using Him as a slang word in vain as to saying that He is the holy God of all, that He is the Creator and the Savior of all, that it's Him that we're going to have to face on Judgment Day, that it's Him and Him alone that truly we need respect and we need to reverence here this morning. He says, seek thy servant. Hey, that lost one means to be strayed, one that eventually may perish. But my friend, we need to be praying that God might seek us out this morning. You see that one that he's praying for, he's saying, seek me, find me, secure me in thy presence. Help me, dear God. I'll tell you what, I'm thankful for what that Jesus taught over in the book of Luke, chapter number 15.
For he says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Hey, I'll tell you what, if God's pursuing you this morning, you ought to thank Him. You ought to enjoy it. He says there, and when he hath found it, he layeth on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. I'll tell you what, we need to be just like the publican and the Pharisee. You know, the publican was willing to recognize his sin and saying, God, I'm a sinner in need of salvation. Have mercy on me. And he went home honored in the sight of God. God will honor you as you leave this place today if you'll do business with Him this morning. He's all you need today. You need to encourage His pursuit. He says, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. He says, seek thy servant, that one that desires to be a worshiper of God. For he says, for I do not forget thy commandments. I'll tell you what, God is commanding somebody here today to recognize their sinner, separated from God because of their sin. Now, I said there may be one that's here. We need to realize it's all about Him as we encourage His pursuit. But let me ask you the question this morning. Are you evading His pursuit? Or is God calling you today and you're saying, God, no, that's not me. God, no, I know that I've been doing everything I need to do. Been witnessing every time I need to witness. Been in church every time I need to be in church. Been singing and praising every time I need to sing and praise. Maybe somebody here today that God's dealing with. I don't know. Let me ask you, are you evading His pursuit this morning? Are you pushing Him away? Are you saying, God, I don't need You in my life? Please don't do that this morning. Please call upon Jesus before it's everlasting too late. Amen. If you're here today and you're saved, you know you're saved, but you're just not as close as you ought to be. Just not as fervent as you used to be. Ain't got that old-time fire like you used to have to serve God. Maybe you need to come be refreshed this morning, recognizing it's not about you. It's not about your family. It's not about our church. But it's about Him. Amen? It's about Him. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning.